We'll begin to read this morning at the first verse. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. We pointed out that here was a word concerning the servant, the scattered, and the salutation. The salutation is the familiar salutation, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into various trials or diverse temptations. Here we have an exhortation. Count it all joy. Then we have an expectation. When? Not if. But every child of God will find himself or herself in the midst of a situation designed of God for the testing of the Christian. And testing is always for the purpose of developing the spiritual experience of the believer. God doesn't test us primarily just to see how much we can take or how long we can endure the testing. He tests us with a purpose. Testing may involve tension, but we grow stronger by means of tension, such tension as involves spiritual exercise, and we grow in the grace of God through exercise designed by the Holy Spirit. And then there is an experience. It says, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. That's the experience. We don't always like these experiences, but we experience difficulty, various times of trial in the life, but these things are designed to produce spiritual strength. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. And I find in this third verse something extra for us this morning. You would like to make a note of it? We find, first of all, the affliction, and then we find the achievement. The affliction, and secondly, the achievement. Or in other words, we find the affliction, and then what God purposes to accomplish your life and mine by means of the affliction. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. Now, there's so much in the Word of God that He wants us to know. We can know a great deal through study and research. Brother Majanier has a fine library. And there's a fine library over in the hall where we dine. You have good libraries at home, perchance, and so do I. And so do we. My wife and I both love books. Well, we learn a great deal through that which is published. And so much of what we learn is theoretical. That is to say, it is factual, but in a sense we have never experienced it before. And so far as we're concerned, not having practiced it, it can be theoretical. It can be head knowledge. But I believe that God wants to turn the theoretical into practical Christian walk, into experience with Him. Therefore, in this word knowing, I believe we have a reference to the practical application of the testing to our lives. We can know it intellectually. We can say God's ways are good, God's will is good. Testing is important to the Christian. Testing produces strength in the believer. But when we are tested, and in the midst of the affliction, that's the time when we learn in a practical way how good are the ways and how wonderful is the will of God in our lives. Knowing this, and now notice the affliction, that the testing of your faith, not the testing of your knowledge, basically, though that can be involved, not the testing of your popularity with others, not the testing of the theological content of your thinking, primarily, but this is the testing of your faith. Now, when we think in terms of knowing, in the sense that it is used here, we have to realize that it is more than head knowledge, as I've said. It involves the ability to discern matters, to distinguish between things that differ. It involves the ability to recognize certain facts, in this case, to recognize what God is doing. Now, I'm going to change the translation a little bit because I think it's helpful. And believe me, it is true to the text. Instead of reading it, knowing this, that the testing of your faith, I want you to see that in the text itself, it reads, knowing this, that the approved part of your faith worketh patience. The approved part of your faith worketh patience. Now this means, of course, that our faith is not perfect. Now we all have faith in the Word of God. Some exercise their faith in a manner that others do not. Someone has well said that you cannot gain by faith what George Mueller gained without George Mueller's faith. Meaning that you cannot imitate another believer and do it successfully and in every detail. So it's wise to be yourself and to recognize that you do take God at His word, and while your faith and my faith may be imperfect, there is, of course, that within our faith that is perfect and it pleases God. And it brings God's power to our attention. It provides for us answers to prayer. And most assuredly, it provided for us the salvation of our souls. We took it by faith. And so our faith, while it is imperfect, it is not altogether imperfect. Now, God searches our faith. He examines our attitude toward His Word. I think He tests the strength of our belief in the Word of God. He puts our faith to the test. And while He does this in different ways, it has for its purpose the approval of that element of our faith which pleases Him. And so the approved part of our faith worketh patience. In other words, that which God can approve in my life, in your life, with respect to our attitude toward the Word of God, that He uses to produce within us patience. We become sick. We have losses. There are family problems. Sometimes there are disappointments. Many times there are business problems that distress businessmen and business people who are Christians. And then there is a whole host of unseen, unforeseen problems that come. Today's problems may not be tomorrow's problems. Tomorrow's problems may be added to today's problems in cases. And so our faith has to respond to the need of the hour, to the experience of the moment, the experience of the day. There is a word used in this passage when it says the testing of your faith. A word that's used here and translated in other passages by the word approved. It is the word dokimos. It can mean qualified. Odokimos is disqualified. Just like atheist is one who does not believe in the existence of a supreme being. Theism is the belief in God. Atheism, the prefix "aw," no God. We have dokimos approved. Odokimos is disapproved or disqualified. Some of you know Clarence Mason at the Philadelphia College of the Bible. When he was at Wheaton College, he was quite an athlete. He was on the track team. And I'm not surprised that he loved to hurl the javelin on the track team. But you know as well as I do that there is a line you cannot cross in hurling the discus or the javelin. And he was in an intercollegiate meet, and it was very important to Wheaton College. And he hurled the javelin, and no sooner had the javelin left his hand and the judge of the games cried out, disqualified, because he touched the white line with his foot. What an embarrassing moment for an athlete upon whom the games depend so much. You and I serve the Lord. May God help us to serve Him with approval, so that at the judgment seat of Christ, we do not see our service disqualified for reward. Or may God help us to serve Him faithfully here, so that in life, before we get to the judgment seat of Christ, He does not have to lay us to one side, inasmuch as we are disqualified for service for Him. And there are God's servants in the past that have been laid aside, no longer used by God, because sin or some objectionable factor in their lives has crowded out their usefulness for the Lord. Disqualified. Now, our faith in Jesus Christ, faith based upon the Word of God, the Word of God concerning His beloved Son, has introduced us to the glorious experience of salvation. But getting saved is not all there is to it. We are born babes in Christ. The normal law of life is for babies to grow into early childhood, then on into adolescent years, into adulthood. So it is in the Christian life. You and I need to grow by the grace of God. But we will grow by in the grace of God in ratio to our willingness to, by faith, take God at His Word. We need to believe all that God has said, both to be saved and certainly, I mean all that God has said about salvation, to be saved, and then to believe God for every other truth related to Christian growth. And so we develop. Just like ourselves, all that self produces is imperfect. There is no perfect knowledge, though we know, I trust this morning, a great deal about the Word individually. But our knowledge is imperfect. We love Jesus Christ. And we would serve Him faithfully, but our love may be, and doubtless is, imperfect this morning. Someday, faith will become sight, and hope will become realization. Someday, you and I will stand in His likeness, and we shall know then as we are actually known today in the mind of God. You see. But until then, we have to put up with, and others have to put up with, our imperfections. And it's a tragedy, yes. I wish it could be different, but we're not there yet. We're not home yet. It's a tragedy in a way that our faith is so imperfect, so weak at times. But isn't God good to us? God looks at what we believe to be faith. Yes, He lays aside the imperfect. Now, He would train us that we might become more diligent, more accurate, more knowledgeable in the exercise of our faith. But when He examines our faith, it pleases Him to use every element of reality in the faith that He tests. God doesn't cast us aside, whether in terms of service or spiritual development, simply because He sees an imperfection in us. You know, on some assembly lines, I don't know how many, sometimes I question the number, the workman has to lay something aside because there's an imperfection. I wonder if that applies to automobiles. You and I have found some imperfections in cars, haven't we? Every once in a while it catches up with the dealer or with the manufacturer, and now they have to call in 100,000 of them. Something was wrong with the emission system on the year car that I bought back in 1977, yes, and they had to call them back and put another gadget on having to do with the emission system. It was imperfect. Now, God examines the believer. And whatever there is about the believer's faith, whatever the intensity of that faith, whatever the sincerity of motive in that Christian's life, God is pleased to honor. And there isn't one of us here today but what knows the approval of the Lord upon His faith. Your faith and mine may be exercised in one way or another. You may be able to lay hold upon things from God in a much more gracious and intense way than I can, or your brother can, your sister can. But whatever there is about our faith, God is pleased to bless. And he says that the approved part of your faith, now he said, that worketh patience. Isn't it wonderful of God? And shouldn't it encourage you and me? If you're like me, it ought to encourage you a great deal. Isn't it wonderful of God to take what God can see and what he can approve and use it for his glory and our spiritual progress or advance? Isn't it wonderful that God can take the simplest gifts and use them? How many Christians do you know this morning? And you might say to them, they're hidden brothers and sisters. No, they don't preach sermons like Spurgeon did. And they don't write books like others do and did. They don't produce the things that are in the public eye. But oh, they love the Lord. And behind the scenes they're at work for God. And he approves them. And whatever their faith lays hold upon, he approves. Up in Schenectady, New York, there was a home owned by a jeweler in the city. I was in that home for 8 days. Mr. Ferry's wife had died. He was now 93. He went into the jewelry business just for 1 hour a day. He said, just to look it over and see that they're behaving themselves. And so that was his day's work, just a little tour, and someone even took him on that to see his business in operation. But he had a housekeeper. She and her son lived in that home. He was a grown man. Her name was Anderson, Sophie Anderson. You can tell she wasn't Irish. When I tell you that she made real strong black coffee, then you know that she wasn't Irish. No, Sophie Anderson spoke for herself, and so did her coffee. I had to drink. I love coffee. But I want to tell you, it challenged me. If you want to stay up and dream dreams and see visions, in the later hours of the morning, just take Sophie's. I called it boiler compound. Tractor oil, you know, number 60. Well, Aunt Sophie, she said to me one night, do you know where I pray? She said, you see that chair in there by the fireplace? Rocking chair. She said, that's where I meet the Lord. That's where I pray. Dear woman, she must have been between 60 and 65. Oh, how she could pray. I heard her praying one night at 1 o'clock in the morning. I heard her praying on one occasion at 5 o'clock in the morning when I awakened. Monday morning, the pastor of the First Presbyterian Church, where she was a member, called. What did he call? To see her? To comfort her? No. He called to pray with her. And then the same morning, the associate pastor called. And he told me later, I just call on Sophie every morning to get my batteries charged. Now, you never heard of Aunt Sophie. And the Christian world has known little about her. But let me tell you, there was an element in her faith that enabled her to lay hold upon God in a unique way. And men knew this. People knew this. And they called upon her just to pray with her that they might succeed in God's work and be blessed by the Lord for the day. Now, there's in a sense, a hidden facet of her life. Yes, I knew it. Others knew it. But it never made the headlines. No. She was never asked to speak about it. But you know, there is that in her faith that God used to make her what she was spiritually. Somehow, I would rather have Aunt Sophie praying for me than have the greatest that I know preaching to me. Oh, yes. There was that element in her faith that God honored in a wonderful way. But then, you're not Aunt Sophie, and I am not either. But there is that in your faith and mine which God gives attention to. And how does He do it? Oh, was Aunt Sophie free of affliction? No way. And you know, one of her greatest burdens was her son. Her son was a grown man, but he was unsaved. And would you believe it? That week, when we were there in the Bible conference, he gave his life to Jesus Christ for salvation. Oh, was she happy? She praised the Lord, and so did he. Well, whatever it is that God sees is real, He will work it over. He will glorify Himself through the use of it. Now you say, I'm retired. And my body isn't as strong as it used to be. And my step is a bit slower than it was. And you say, I'm not all that I used to be. I don't have the opportunities that I once had. You know, God looks upon your dear life this morning, and He sees that which mirrors His word, His faithfulness. And He wants to use that and work over that right now here at Park of the Palms. And He wants to do it to develop in us endurance. Don't give up. Don't let go. Don't sit in the seat of the despairing. Don't believe for a moment that God has finished with you. God hasn't finished with you until He takes you up and you stand in the perfect likeness to Jesus Christ. Until then, He works in you and He will work through you. You will find a ministry, but in all of this, He will take the faith that is yours, that which mirrors His faithfulness and your trust in His word, and He will produce in you patience, endurance. There is a word in the scripture that says, tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation is not pleasant. When the Romans spoke of tribulating, they spoke of pushing an iron roller that had long spikes in it over the wheat, and they threshed that way. And the Holy Spirit took that word, phlipsis, which is the kindred word to tribulao in the Latin. And He used it for His dealings with us. Yes, you feel, and I have felt, that the old roller with the long iron spikes is rolling over our lives. When my back was busted up, I was laid aside for those many months, yet He lost my life. I wondered, I was only human, I wondered, am I finished? Is this the end? But oh, God proved Himself. And you know, we all feel that way sometimes. But now, as the roller moves over our lives, and it prods, it digs deeply into our souls, just say this. Look into the mirror and say to yourself, God is still at work. He's going to use me. He sees in my life that which he wants to refine and to which he will give growth. And my life is not a stagnant life. It is an expanding life. For what God sees that he can use and reward, so will he do it. And in your letter writing, in your quiet moments of prayer, in your witnessing, in your smile, in your loving help here at the conference, and among your fellow Christians here, you are being used of God. It's that element in your faith that God is at work refining, using it, and one day, for all of us, all working days will be over, and we'll stand perfect. No longer does God have to sort out the imperfections then, but we'll be just like Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, encourage our hearts this morning. Here we are, a number of thy children. We're all different. We have different problems, Lord. We're not majoring in our problems. We want to major in thy grace and in thy goodness, to be willing to strengthen any element of usefulness and faithfulness and belief in thy word that exists in our lives. So use each of us to our capacity, and glorify thyself in us and through us. Bless the conference today. Brother Majani, as he administrates this work, and others that labor with him, those that work in the kitchen, those that serve, those that do anything, many things on the grounds, God bless them all, and bless these thy dear people so faithful to these meetings, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.